Is there really a God composed of all love and true light? Welcome to The Truth Be Told, presented by Beloved of God Ministries, dedicated to revealing the true nature of God and the reliability of the Scriptures as the will of God to us and for us. Now, let's join our brother in Christ, Lawrence Penarello, for The Truth Be Told.
It's a terrible thing to learn of the death of someone. Whether they're young or old, healthy or ill, the death of someone always has an impact on those of us who remain living. Many times we find ourselves wondering, why? I've heard it said that God has called the person home. And I have also heard many people are comforted by that saying, but is death God's calling card? The truth be told, the Bible says that is the devil who has the power of death. While I understand this may be a difficult topic, once again I would like to offer for your consideration a look at some scriptures. Because true closure will serve those who truly hold the hope which is an anchor of the soul. To begin with, we must recognize that God's true nature is light and love. At several points in my life while I was a minister, I supported our family by working as a construction superintendent building apartment complexes. To begin laying out a project, it was always necessary to first find and establish benchmarks. This was a necessary step to make certain I was constructing within the boundaries of our property. A benchmark is a surveyor's mark on a stationary object of previously determined elevation and position that is used to be a standard reference point. Usually, when the land was being surveyed, a large metal stake was driven into the ground at these determined points. By finding that stake and finding that set point, we could determine where the borders to our property were and could lay out the site, knowing we could tie into previously buried public utilities that would be at an unseen location. Such benchmarks to view life from God's heavenly perspective are scriptures that clearly tell us the true nature of God, such as 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, where it says, God is light. And chapter 4, verse 16, where it affirms to us God is love. Having established these truths will help us stay in bounds in reading the Word of God. Now let's take a deeper look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The word message means to decree a promise. It is an administrative act in which we can interpret canon law. Since Jesus Christ came to manifest God, who is spirit, on the level of the flesh so that the man of the five senses could know God, the gospel should indicate how God thinks of mankind and what he does for man. Remember, Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. If we want to understand what God does and what he does not do, we simply need to look at the four gospels. And again, the word gospel means good news. It says, there is no darkness whatsoever in God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I say the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ to separate him from the God of this world, spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, this God of this world who hath blinded the minds of those who believe not. Our God is light, and he is truly love. His very nature is light. The phrase, no darkness at all, in the Greek is a double negative to sort of emphasize the point that in God there's not even the slightest hint of darkness. The good news in John, the Gospel of John, the good news of John, chapter 1, verse 4, tells us, in him, in God, was life, not death. And the life was the light of men. In God is the birthplace of all life. From the soil to the sky, he is the author of life, and through life, he illuminates the way for mankind. If God is light and the author of life, then the antithesis has to be darkness and death. So, who has the power of death and darkness? Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, and then in verse 14. It says, "For as much then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ, also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him who hath the power of death, that is, the devil." Children are partakers, that is, they partake of both the flesh and the blood of their parents. They share in the genetics of both parents. Jesus, in representing those who are born of the flesh and blood, however, only took part. The part he took was the flesh, which he received from Mary. To be the sacrifice for the whole world, he had to have perfect or sinless blood. In order for the blood to be pure and sinless, it needed to be created by the Father. As Judas proclaimed, "I have betrayed the innocent blood." Jesus redeemed us from death through his precious blood. Yet in this same verse, the Bible then tells us who has the power of death. That is the devil. That doesn't make people who have died or will die devilish, any more than a soldier dying would indicate he was a traitor or disloyal. It is a power that the devil has, and he has used and will continue to use against mankind. Now, there are several Greek words translated power, and it's helpful for us to know the different nuances associated with each one of these words when we look at the power of death. The Greek words are dunamis, exousia, kratos, and ischus. Dunamis is potential or stored energy, like the battery in a flashlight. All the ability to make the flashlight shine is carried in the batteries. It remains stored until I operate the button. Exousia is exercise power over an area of authority. I press my finger on the button and exercise the power contained in the batteries. Kratos is power that is impacting, or impacting power. As the stored energy is exercised, the impact takes place when the current is flowing through the filament in the bulb. This impact of the electricity on the filament produces light as long as I press the button. Ischus is power that prevails. The illumination from the flashlight overcomes and prevails against the darkness. As an illustration, like baseball, I'm a batter in the last game of the World Series. Let's make it exciting. It's the bottom of the ninth inning and the score is tied. My muscles have all the potential to swing the bat, dunamis. It has the potential, the stored energy. The pitcher throws the ball right into my hitting zone, and I exercise my muscles and swing the bat, exousia. I exercise the power over the area of my authority, my strike zone. The bat then comes in contact with the ball, kratos, impact, right at the sweet spot, and the ball takes flight in the opposite direction. The ball goes into the stands for a walk-off home run. Ischus, we prevail. Now, Hebrews tells us that the devil has the kratos power. That is power with an impact. The impact is death. It not only has an impact on the person who has died, but then it also reverberates to impact family, friends, acquaintances. That impact can be devastating and deeply injurious. And that certainly is not the will of God for our lives. Yet, It is in the devil's ability to exercise, or his area of authority. And when it is exercised, it carries a tremendous impact. But he cannot make it iscus, prevail. That is in the power of the Lord. As Jesus told his disciples before Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, Petros, a small stone. And, or but, upon this rock, Petra, the rock, Jesus Christ, will I build my church, and the gates of hell, Hades, the grave, shall not, iscus, prevail against it." Isn't that beautiful? However, since death does have a very powerful impact, God uses the euphemism sleep to sort of soften the blow or ease the minds of those who are alive and remain. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. First, Paul wants to assure the church that there will be a resurrection of the dead. In verse 12, it says, "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there be no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" He reassures the brethren, if there's no resurrection, if some of you say, then even Christ has not risen. And if Christ did not get up from the dead, then our preaching is only empty words, and what you have believed is also empty. If Christ tasted death for every man and is not risen, then no one will rise, and all we have to look forward to is really nothing. Verse 17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If Christ did not get up from the dead, then there really is no redemption. Then they which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished." I love this because of placing the death in the euphemism of being asleep. Why? Because you're going to wake up. At night, when you go to bed, most people set their alarm clock because they anticipate waking in the morning and doing something. We sleep through the night with an anticipation for the next day. Under most circumstances, if you haven't been eating a pizza before you went to bed or something and dream, the moment after you go to sleep seems like the next moment you're waking. You really have no sense of time passing. Although maybe 8 hours have passed, you are totally unaware during that state of sleep. The next thing you know, you're awake. My wife's favorite reverie of her childhood was of her mom tucking her in her bed at night, singing a lullaby or saying a prayer, and the next moment, her mom was standing beside the bed. The smell of bacon cooking was wafting through the house, awakening her. Others hold different memories, but the point is you closed your eyes, and the next time you opened them, it was a new day. Whether you sleep for an hour or 10 hours, you do not sense the time going by. For those that have died, their next waking moment will be to see Christ in his glory. But if Christ is not risen, then all those who have died will never awaken again. Verses 19 and 20, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, or most to be pitied, because we believe in a future life that does not exist. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept or are sleeping." I read somewhere that a common greeting among the disciples after Jesus arose was, one would greet the other by saying, "He is risen." Then the other disciple would respond back, "He is risen indeed." Well, whether that was truly the way disciples greeted one another, I'm not sure, but I am absolutely sure he is risen indeed. While remaining in this chapter, let's go to verses 52 through 54. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Again, in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, in chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, read, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." See, these are the words with which the Scriptures tell us we will comfort one another. We've tried many other words and phrases to comfort one another. People talk about rose petals in heaven or crossing the bar or some other words. I appreciate the compassion, but the Scriptures speak, "Together we shall ever be with the Lord." Beloved, that's closure.
We'll return to our message in just a moment. We're taking this opportunity to invite you to visit our website at www.myinternetchapel.org, where you can make a prayer request, pray, or just reflect upon the promises of God at the Garden of Answered Prayer. You can listen to sermons and teachings in the Good News Room, or explore our other services and features. The address again is www.myinternetchapel.org. Your comments and questions may be emailed to minister@bgm-usa.org, or you can write us at Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. Beautiful hymns you're listening to are provided by Twin Sisters Productions from their 3-CD set, 102 Instrumental Hymns. A link to Twin Sisters is available through our website. If you've missed our contact information, it will be provided again at the close of this broadcast. Now for the conclusion of today's message, let's rejoin Lawrence Panarello.
There is a day coming when all the powers of the devil and his unholy angels shall cease. At that day, even the power of death will no longer hold sway over the lives of men and women, and that great enemy of mankind shall no longer exist. 1 Corinthians assures us in chapter 15, verses 24 through 26, "Then cometh the end, when he, Christ Jesus, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." Christ Jesus will ultimately deliver the kingdom into the hands of the loving Father. He will have put an end to all of the evil realm's dominion and exercise power, including the devil's ace in the hole, death. Verse 25 says, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." It is the devil who has the power of death, but he cannot make it prevail. He has the Kratos power and impact, and boy, does it have an impact, but he cannot make it iscus prevail. Let's look at the glorious record given in the book of Revelation in chapter 21. And I want to read to you verses 1 through 5. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first or former heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband or bridegroom. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a God we have, and what a Lord! There shall be no more tears, no more sorrow, and no more pain, because there shall be no more death. Life prevails from the author of life. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. As that wise Catholic philosopher and teacher, Sir Thomas More, declared, Earth hath no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Then in verse 5, And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, the Apostle John, Write, for these words are true and faithful. What further assurances do we need to know our lives are wrapped in the bundle of life with a God who is light and a God who is love, a God whose power prevails? We have seen God's very nature of love and light in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus told Philip in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 7 through 9, If you had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? For he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Didn't Jesus always walk in love? Can we find fault in Jesus or hold an accusation of evil against him? Did Jesus cause anyone to die or make them sick unto death for the glory of God? No. Beloved, Jesus even went and raised Lazarus from the dead, as he did in other cases. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed from the devil, for God was with him. The thoughts that God is a stern ruler and a wrathful judge have been so ingrained throughout modern theology and Christianity. We say he is love. We teach others, God loves you. And yet, there's so much negativity attributed to God. If God should call the faithful, believing ones home through death, shouldn't their departure be through some glorious means? Should they leave behind a widow, orphan children, or their financial state out of order? Does one go onto glory and leave a wake of pain and troubles as a legacy? Then why does it say in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints? Who would be so devastating to the order of life God has set to be more than abundant? As John 10:10 tells us, The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Why do people die? Why does one person outlive another? These are questions I do not know the answer to. But I do know who has the power of death and have been impacted by that power many times with family, friends, acquaintances, and loved ones. But I also know who has the prevailing power of life, and he will exercise that power in the fullness of time. Then, together it shall be unending and with joy unspeakable. I have not spoken these things to challenge your faith or disrupt the tenets of your convictions, but rather because I want to speak well of my Heavenly Father, who is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is a God of healing and deliverance. His power prevails even over the impacting power of death. Won't it be glorious? And a glorious day when all mankind sees the great goodwill of our God.
Thank you for joining us today for The Truth Be Told, a listener-supported presentation of Beloved of God Ministries. To assist us in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, your contribution for our global mission can be made through our website at www.myinternetchapel.org or by writing to Beloved of God Ministries, Post Office Box 0894, Westerville, Ohio 43086. We'll talk again next week. Join us for The Truth Be Told.